Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We're on Parashat Pinchas. Parashat Pinchas is a very interesting parasha. Yes, what's the question?
No, to dedicate the shiur.
The shiur is going to be Leilui Nishmat.
Gittel bat
Mechel. Gittel bat Mechel. Okay. וידבר השם אל משה לאמור, פנחס בן אלעזר בן אהרון הכהן, אשיב את חמתי מעל בני ישראל. Pinchas is a very interesting parsha. First of all, because we are a little puzzled in the beginning to see that somebody who kills somebody else is getting reward by a covenant of peace, which is strange. You know, the guy did an act of war, he killed somebody, and he's getting rewarded with peace. Give him you make him a kohen, make whatever you do, I've got no problem, but what is the connection between what he did to the reward he got?
But they made him a Kohen, yes.
He was a Kohen.
He was a Kohen.
No, there are four opinions. There are four opinions here. First of all, they say that when they nominated the Kohanim, he was too young. No. When God gave Aaron and his four sons the Kohuna, the Pinchas was too young to get it, so he didn't get it. So in other words, though he was a child from
Eliezer,
he still didn't get it because he was too young. Mm-hmm. And only from the day on, those who were born were Kohanim. So he was born before. He wasn't nominated as a Kohen. But now God, because of what he did, nominated as a Kohen. This is one opinion. Yes, one explanation. And there is another explanation, that because of what he did, you know, if a Kohen kills somebody, he cannot be a Kohen. He cannot do his job. So he got the covenant of peace because what he did was only for God. So he got a special reward that he can still be a Kohen. So those are the general, there are a lot of other opinions also, but that's generally speaking what happened here. But the question is, what is written in the Pshat? Briti Shalom. So Shalom, with killing, how does it go? It's like, if you remember Arafat, this precious guy, this righteous guy, got also the Nobel Prize for Peace.
Yes. Yes.
Which is like this killer got a... So yes. It looks like the Torah is doing something similar. Giving a guy that killed, and, you know, even if he's justified, still, you know, killed. What is the connection? And that's exactly the point. People don't realize, talking about peace, Shalom Achshav, people don't realize that sometimes, in order to have peace, you have to go on war in order to achieve peace. Because it happens all the time. Because you are not the one who starts it. Somebody else starts it. So if you are not going to do anything, either he's going to kill you, or you're going to be a part of his religion or of his tradition, and that's not what we are doing. We have our own religion, our own tradition, and we're keeping it, whatever it is. So sometimes in order to keep your way, you have to go on war. Now, war doesn't mean that you're against peace. Because the idea is, why or what do I want to achieve? And that's sometimes a lot of times the problem. Like in the Kabbalah, they say, you don't look on the mikre, on this case by itself, you look at the klal. What does it mean, you look at the klal? You look at the whole thing. What does it mean? For example, your child hits his brother. What do you do?
He yells him.
If it's my kalati, he gives me a shikot.
He hit his brother, he gives him a shikot?
No, he says,
sorry,
and then
she kisses him. Is he getting punishment? If he hits his brother, does he get a punishment?
I think no.
What do you think? I'm asking you. What do you think?
I think.
What do you think? If a brother hits his brother, does he deserve a punishment or not?
Yes. deserves a punishment.
But you just say
that. I think, but it depends some, what kind.
Some parents will hit the child and tell him, you shouldn't hit your brother. Tach, tach.
Law.
Not nowadays.
That's law? That's okay. Okay, let's see. Now, what is the problem with the
that,
child?
Then your brother, then he's going to hate
you punished
brother.
Him, and do you think he's going to stop hitting his brother because you punished him?
No. Of course.
Why not? You punished him. He always got a punishment.
He has his feelings.
Why?
What?
Why did he hit him? Why did he hit the brother?
Oh. In other words, it is a big mistake to punish the child without checking why did he do what he did, what he wanted.
Yes.
Why did he hit his brother?
That's right.
And a lot of times, the reason he hit his brother is because he wants us to
make attention.
And we don't give him enough attention. He wants attention, so he doesn't get the attention in a normal way. So he hits his brother, now he's got attention. And if you're punishing him, it means you're giving him attention. A little child doesn't understand. He understands one thing. My parents don't give me attention. I want attention. Yeah. It's like this guy was a big macher. And he was all the time busy. No time for nobody. All the day on phones. One day, at home, he gets a phone from his son. He says, Yossi, why do you phone me? You're in the next room. He says, this is the only way I can speak with you. Unfortunately, it happens sometimes. And this is exactly the point. So what do you do? Do you look at what happened now, or do you look at the general picture? You should look at the general picture. And that's exactly the point. You can never look at one thing. You have to look at the whole picture. And this is the way you look at things. So here also with peace and war, an act of war, an act of peace, what we have to look is the whole picture.
The plague happens before he killed the prince or after?
Before. The plague?
The plague.
Before. No. The plague started, and then maybe the tribe of Shimon were very involved in this, in those sins, and they came to Zimri ben Salu, who was one of the princes, and told him, look what's happening, and you're sitting in your tent doing nothing? We are being killed. So then he did what he did. And then Pinchas did what he did, and the plague stopped. So the plague started not because of what Zimri ben Salu did, but it started before.
It started when they began the tribe.
Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, the end of the parasha, the last parasha, Vayachel Ha'am Liznot Udot Moav. They went to the women of Moab. And they didn't only go with them and sleep with them, they made them worship their idols.
Yeah.
They bow to their idols. ויצמד ישראל לבעל פאור, ויחר אף השם בישראל, ויאמר השם אל משה, קח את כל ראשי העם, ועוקע אותם להשם נגד השמש, וישב חרון אף מהישראל, ויאמר משה אל שופטי ישראל, ארגו איש את אנשיו הנצמדים לבעל פאור. Go and kill all those people who are doing this idol worshiping. והנה איש מבני ישראל בא, ויקריב את אחד מבנים, וכל עוד ישראל, and then what happens, comes this guy who does the, even a worse thing. And
who is the guy?
The
Zimri ben Salu.
Ah.
The prince of
Sevet Shimon. So Pinchas comes and he kills him. Vata'atzer ha-magefa ma'al bnei Yisrael. So it's not written here when the magefa started, if you look like in the pshat. But the problem started before. He increased the problem. It's not that the head of the prince of Shevet Shimon, he started this thing, go to the halls of Midian.
He was a Jew? Yeah.
With Zimri, of course. He was one of the princes of Shevet Shimon.
Zimri, he wasn't a Jew.
Of course he was a Jew. He was one of the princes of Shevet Shimon.
All were Jews?
Yeah.
And they were doing this all?
Yeah, that this is what... It happens when... When Bilam left Balak, he told him, if you want to know what to do, you take your girls and you put them in a certain place in order to, seduce the Jews, and they will then sleep with the girls, yes, and yes, then you tell them to worship the idols, yes, and then you've got them. Mm-hmm. So it started not from Zimri, but then when they were killing all those people who were doing this, the people of Shimon, Shevet Shimon, come to him and told him, well, you cannot sit in the tent while this is happening around. So then he did what he did. So he came to Moshe and says, you married to a Midianite. Why, you allowed and we not? But what you didn't. He did.
They didn't marry them.
First of all, he was married to her before they got the Torah.
Yeah.
And secondly, she became a Jewish. And here
when
we talk.
They gave the Torah, all became.
Everybody was there. Was because before getting the Torah, there was no Torah, there was no Jewish nation. Mm-hmm. There was tribes that came together out of Egypt. And now, this is after we already received the Torah. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to compare. But again, this is why he was getting punished severely, and to really understand what was the problem. Because a lot of time in life, we justify what we do. And sometimes it's wrong, very wrong what we do, but we always find a way to justify because we want it. We desired it. That's desire. That's love. That's Yetzer Hara. He's not stupid. He knows how to deal with us. And we have to know how to deal with him. That's the war. That's the war we are. And this war is in order to achieve peace. Because what happened now and what they did, they disconnected Am Yisrael from the Kodesh Baruch. Mm-hmm. They broke the peace between us and the Kodesh Baruch. And what did Pinchas do? He brought the peace back. And that's why he got rewarded with the reward of peace. Because this is exactly what he did. So if you look at the surface, well, he killed somebody, yes. But what he did is really bringing Am Yisrael again back to God. To connect to God and to be whole again. And to have peace with God. Because shalom is shlemut. Shalom is to be whole. What we see in our parsha, especially when Moshe Rabbeinu, there are a lot of figures in our parsha. Really, it's unbelievable. Datan va'avira, Miriam, Serach bat-Asher. People, we forgot about them. You know, why do we need to know about them again? But there's a big lesson in our parsha. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked Kodesh Baruch Hu to nominate the leader, and he thinks it's going to be his children, and God tells him, no, it's going to be Yoshua ben Nun. He says, I want, you are the God of all spirit. You find a guy that can deal with the people. And God says, you want a guy with a spirit? Who is this guy? Yoshua ben Nun. Ish asher ruach bo. What is ruach? What is the spirit I talk about? What is so important about the ruach inside? Because our neshama is built from 5 levels. We talk always about 3 levels. It's neshama, it's nefesh, ruach, neshama. What is the nefesh? The nefesh is the part that moves us and wants all the things for the body. That's the nefesh habe'emit. That's the Bista, the
animal.
Bista, the how do you say it? It's the beastly spirit. It's like what the animals got. Then there is the spirit, which connects the part of the animal with the part of the neshama. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. So the ruach. The spirit is really the connection between our body, if we want to make it more understandable, between our body and God. If we haven't got this connection, what are we? Beasts, animals. So this is the ruach. Unfortunately, the ruach can also work the other way around. When instead of the neshama controlling everything, the beast is controlling everything. In other words, instead of the sechel, of our mind, of the neshama, telling what to do, the desire is telling the mind what to do through the spirit. So there is a good spirit and a bad spirit. And if there is no spirit, you're a vegetable. You're just an animal. No, that's what it is.
A stone.
Yes, it's. You have to understand that all what we, when we learn about the spiritual world, we really understand and realize that all, also the physical world is identical to the spiritual world. You know, we can, every part of the body has a connection with the spiritual world. Like when we talk about the heart, what is so important about the heart? The heart is the center of our feelings. When you fear, what happens to the heart? You feel something in the heart, physical. You feel it. When you're very happy, you also feel it. So in other words, there is a connection between the spirit and the body. And that's only touching it in the small way. So when we talk about our parsha, when we talk about Pinchas doing what he's doing, is there a connection between what Pinchas is doing, between all the other figures in the parsha and the spirit? Must be. One of the main lessons that we have in our parsha is a very interesting lesson. See, so much to talk about. When we go, there is a counting of Am Yisrael again. But there's a very strange thing. Till now, we have counting that tribes, people, this counting is, you know what? Families. Families.
So many names, yes?
Families.
And you see all those names, for example, ובני אליהו, נמואל ודתן ואבירם. דתן ואבירם. We already, they are not with us anymore. Why do we need to know about them again? And listen to this. Who דתן ואבירם? Who is singular? But there are two people. But they were so evil and were one. Like Moshe ואהרון were on the good side, like one. They were like one on the bad side.
Where is it?
This is Pasuk. What is this, Tet?
Tet. Tet. Ken, Tet.
Pasuk Tet, Pasuk 9. In Perek. Perek Kafvav.
Okay.
But you see. ראובן בכור ישראל בני ראובן משפחת החנוכי לפלו משפחת הפילי משפחת 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 all the time משפחת משפחת family 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 family
yeah.
And then for we get to פסוק תת ובני אליאב נמואל ודתן ואבירם who דתן ואבירם not הם דתן ואבירם who דתן ואבירם קרואי העדה אשר what did they do you tell me what did they do in this פסוק. What is this pasuk telling us?
They were,
look in the translation. Look what
they were against Moshe and Aaron.
Moshe and Aaron.
Who started the thing against Moshe and Aaron? Who started?
Korach.
And what's written here?
Well, that they started.
They said that they did it with Korach.
It's not anything with.
Well, in the company of Korach.
In other words, who is the one behind this whole thing? Korach or Datan v'Aviram?
Datan v'Aviram.
Says Orach Chaim HaKadosh, this is a proof that Korach didn't start it. Who started it? Those two villains. That always, in every naughty thing, in every ugly thing, they are involved. So in other words, behind all this riot, behind all this jealousy, were those two people. In other words, Korach was a tzaddik. But you know, we all know, Ashochad Yaver Emet Tzaddikim V'Yisalef Lechachamim. When you find a way how to bribe somebody, you can have an influence even on a tzaddik. So they came to him, and they knew how to speak with him. So they said, look what's happening around you. You are this
tzaddik.
And they take him all the jobs, and they're doing everything, and you're getting nothing. How can you stand and do nothing for it? Well, you have to stand for yourself and for everybody else. Blah, 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 blah. Says, okay, I'm doing it. So they were behind it. Now, what is our proof? Let's go on with this pasuk, and we find out something unbelievable. Ba'atzotam al Hashem, v'tiftach ha'aretz et piya, and the earth opened its mouth, and swallowed them, and Korach, ve'mot ha'eda, ve'achol ha'esh, and when the fire ate all those 250 people that were standing with Korach, v'yu l'nes. Okay, what's the next pasuk telling us? The sons of Korach didn't die.
Yeah.
What is that to do here? Why were we not told about this when Korach was
Korach. The Pasha of Korach.
Should have written there that Korach died, but his sons were saved.
Yeah.
And there, nothing is being told to us.
So here.
And suddenly here,
only here,
we find out that they were saved. What is the Torah trying to tell us?
I is not sad there. I know that they did tshuva in the last minute.
But here, but it's written here, not there. Here it's written.
Yeah.
There you can go through the whole parsha, you will find nothing about it.
So why?
What happened to the Tanva Aviram and their families? We're talking about families, remember. We're talking about families. Remember.
They were gone. Yeah. They
Who was gone?
Their families.
All the family.
All the family. All meaning family. Children, babies, women, everybody.
Animals, everything.
Everything. Unbelievable. And what happened with Korach? He was also part of this.
Yeah,
also
children,
everybody died?
No.
Yeah.
The children.
So what is the Torah trying to tell us? Korach gave his children good education. Korach was from a good family. The children of Korach were from a good family. But from the other side, the Tanva Aviram, they were so corrupt, there was nothing good there. In other words, this family was corrupt. When we talk about the spirit, what spirit are we talking about? A spirit that connects the soul with the body in the right way. The Tanva Aviram, it was the wrong one.
From what shevet they were?
Reuven.
From Reuven?
Yeah, it's written here.
There is, I think, a Mishnah that say that the Tanva Aviram should be killed in Egypt when there were babies, with the wall they are building with babies. And then Moshe, people ask, why you are killing the babies to Hashem? And Hashem is, Moshe, I think.
No, that was Micha. That was Micha, not the Tanva Aviram.
That was Micha,
who he saved Micha, and this was the one who was going with the idol through Yam Suf. This Micha. The Tanva Aviram, they were from Shevet Reuven. They were, let's say, big shots, because we see that they are involved in everything, that might people listen to them. And they even had an influence on Korah. Here we find out an unbelievable story. You know, till now we are realized Korach started the whole thing. And the Tanva Aviram joined in. But no, it's the Tanva Aviram started everything and Korach joined in. And then we also learn that they were so corrupt, those two people, that they vanished from the earth completely. Nothing left. From the other side, Korach was not so corrupt. He was a good guy that got corrupted by them. But still, he had good in him that saved his children. And Shmuel HaNavi is from the descendants of Korach. Shmuel HaNavi!
Wow.
So the big lesson here is good education never fails. It can look like it's the end of everything, but suddenly you find out that if you've got a good education, it pops out. You know, I told you once, I was going here in Ra'anana one of the Shabbos years ago, and I saw youngsters like playing on Shabbos, and they were really not looking Shabbos-like. And the girls were half naked, and and it was Shabbos. And from far away, I was sure that they are not religious. And then when I came close, I said, "What are they? Those are children from our families." I couldn't believe it. But years later, those that I met from this group, they had families that were brought up in the religious way. They had kippahs on their head. They cut the long hair. And the girls were, today, the dress, the cover they had. In other words, if you give your children a good education, even though sometimes it looks, wow, I didn't do it. Look at him. Look how he behaves. Look how she's behaved. Wow, what she's doing and what he's doing. And we really think that we are lost. Suddenly, you see, they're coming back to the roots. Why? What happened? That's family. A good family that puts the right spirit inside. What is Pinchas? Pinchas got a small yud. A lot of people write Pinchas without a yud at all. But there is a yud there. But it's very hard to see the yud because the yud is very small. The yud by itself is small, but in, let's see if they did it here also.
Mine is written in the normal.
No.
In the Torah itself, it's written small.
Yeah.
Here.
Don't know if they do it in the old Chumashim.
Yeah,
here they've got it small.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not in this one.
So why do they have this yud small?
Tiny.
Yeah.
Why is the Torah doing this?
Shem was with him.
Who is Pinchas? Do we know him?
No.
Did you hear about him before?
No.
Some guy from the crowd. We don't even know who he is. And suddenly this guy is doing this heroic thing. All the big people, all the big shots, Moshe and the children of Aaron and all the leaders of Amis are standing there. Doing nothing. And this Pinchas gets up and does the thing. Says Rav Zalman Sorotsky, an unbelievable thing. Do you see this small Yud? Yud is Yehudi. Jewish. Sometimes people think, well, who am I? What can I do? Look at the world. Look at what's happening around us. Look at the shul. People come dressed like this. They daven like this. What can I do? I've got no powers. The Torah is telling us everybody's got power. Everybody's got this small yud. That if you push the right button and the right trigger, it comes out. We have a lot of power. That's the small yud. This Pinchas, he is the small yud that suddenly pops out. And he's doing this heroic thing. Sometimes we see it in life also. Somebody we know, like a simple guy, suddenly he's saving somebody. He's doing something unbelievable. Wow, he did this? Yes, he did. This is also something that is connected with education. They say, who are you to do what you did when your mother is from the Shevet of Midian? It's a Goya. Idol worshipper. But from the other side, the Torah is telling us he is the son, the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. So it doesn't even matter where your mother or father came from. If you have the right spirit, you give the right education, the influence is there. So Pinchas till now, nothing special. Suddenly, and he's getting rewarded with a covenant of peace forever. Nobody got this thing. Not Moshe, not Aaron, nobody. Pinchas got it. And they say Pinchas is Eliyahu Hanavi.
Yes.
Do you understand who Pinchas is? This is not a simple guy. And this is a guy that nobody... You know, sometimes, I remember when years ago, somebody would tell me that I will give shiurim and I will write books and I would write about Torah every week. I would laugh him in his face. And certainly all the others who knew me. But suddenly something happened. In my case, what woke me up was my mother when she died on Motzei Yom Kippur years ago. You remember? I looked at her and I said, what's life? What is life? waking up in the morning, going to work, eat, drink, sleep. That's life. That's why we're here in this world. And I decided to change. It didn't happen in one go. Slowly. And it taught me a big lesson in life. Sometimes people come to me and they tell me, now I'm so far away from this, who am I to this? I says, you don't know your power. This is Pinchas. And Pinchas is everybody. We sometimes think we are too small. We are simple people. Who are we to do something? We have a lot of power. We are the children of God. We have power. Sometimes this power is hidden in us, but we've got it. And each one of us has to look for this small yud that we got inside. This is the parsha. This is the family. This is the spirit. This is all the figures in the parsha, because we look, we see what everybody of those figures is doing. And it's all connected to the education, to the family, and to the spirit. And to peace with ourselves, which is the first thing. To be in peace with yourself. And with God. And with your friends. That's the thing. That's the idea. And this is the spirit we have here. From one side, Yehoshua ben Nun. Who would even imagine Yehoshua ben Nun is going to be the next leader of Am Yisrael? This servant of Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the leader of Am Yisrael. Not the children of Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the guy with the spirit. Again, somebody who is from, like, a servant. A Pinchas, nobody knows about him. Suddenly, they become the top people. And from the other side, great people like Korach do the wrong thing. And those two, Datan and Aviram, which was from the heads of the tribe of Reuben, doing all the time the wrong thing, doing it to the level that they were distinguished from this world completely. We have also the daughters of Tzlofchad. We have the daughter of Tzlofchad. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, they want a part of Eretz Israel. We have Miriam. We have Serach Bat Asher. We have the children of Aaron that died, also showing us you can be holy, but when you do the wrong thing, you lose. So when we look at the parasha, I think that maybe the main lesson of our parasha is to look into ourselves. We have all those figures inside us, and try and find this small yud. This small Yehudi that is inside of us, which is not small at all. We just think it's small, but it's there. And use the spirit to do the right thing in the eyes of God. And this spirit we also have to use when we educate our children and our grandchildren.
That's why they say that the child that comes, the mother needs to be Jewish for the children to be Jewish. Yes?
Yes.
And from the father came the family, the tribe, no?
Yes.
It's like this, yes? And the power for the child comes from the fathers, no?
It's a combination. We can have all sure only about this. The connection between the child and the mother and the father. That the mother gives things, the father gives things, but it has to be together. That's the power of Am Yisrael. It's, as we say, it's not one part, it's the whole thing. It's the peace. The peace is the connection. The connection between everybody. Everybody fulfills the needs of the other. That's the way. What is a couple? It's a man and a woman getting together and producing the next generation. And if you want to produce something, you need to have men and women, male and female. Otherwise, it doesn't work. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't work.
No, because I said this because in outside Chutzlar, if the child is the mother is Jewish, we say, no, at least this, the child is Jewish.
Yes.
But here we see in the parasha that is important.
Of course. It's important.
The family.
Yes, it's important to have the father and the mother doing the right thing.
Okay.
That's what it is. At the end of the day.
But if not,
we have a problem. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. If the family is, I don't want to talk too much because we're talking about it all the time now. But if the family is not normal, the results are also not normal. No, I'm saying that it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. At the end of the day, think about it. God created the world in a certain way. And this is the way it should be. If you change it, you're changing God's will. And when you change God's will, nothing good is going to come out of it. That's exactly the right spirit, the right family, the right thing to do. When the spirit is connected in the right way, the neshama is on control, believe me, a lot of things that we see today we won't see. But if it's going the other way, if the part that is controlling the soul is the body instead of the soul controlling the controlling, then we have a problem. Bezrat Hashem, we will go on the way of Pinchas, Yehoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu, Elazar, and all the good side of the parsha. Not Slofchat, Miriam, Serach Bat Asher, all the good figures of the parsha. They are lit. It's not just those. All those figures are here to teach us a lesson. So we have to learn the right lesson and use our power in the right way. And Bezrat Hashem, we will bring peace to the whole world.
Amen. Amen.